She's been on her feet nearly half the damn night, bringing you beverage in your late night bite. She remains cheerful when you're nasty and tight, makes change for a 50 in dim candlelight, ignoring the groping, hoping you might come across with a tip and sympathize with her plight.
The beautiful sounds of Loudon Wainwright III there, making something pretty out of a terrible plight. Tip that waitress there. In America, you won't believe this, the minimum wage for tipped workers is $2.13 an hour. That's $2.32 in Australian currency. Small comfort there. That rate has not moved in 22 years. Sure, the workers do their best to earn the rest of the wage that they should be getting in tips, but if it's a slow day, many of them, of course, aren't actually earning even a living wage, despite the fact that they're working full-time. Well, a woman who is working full-time to improve the rights of restaurant workers in America is lawyer and organiser Saru Jayaraman. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks, she founded the Restaurant Opportunities Centre United, in part to help the workers from the World Trade Centre restaurant Windows on the World. Of course, the restaurant was destroyed when the towers collapsed. Those not on shift that day were left without a job, and Saru was asked to help them look for work. She told me her story and theirs earlier this week.
On that morning of 9/11, 73 workers died in the restaurant and about 250 workers lost their jobs. And in fact, 13,000 restaurant workers lost their jobs in the months and weeks following the tragedy. And so there was a union inside that restaurant, a very tiny union, because less than 0.001% of all restaurant workers in America are unionized. And so the small union called me and one of the lead waiters from Windows on the World, the restaurant, and said, look, we don't have the capacity or the resources to support all of these workers who have lost their jobs all over the city after 9/11, and asked if we would start a relief center to initially support all the workers who had lost their jobs and the families of the victims. And what started as a relief center just in the months following the tragedy has now grown into a national restaurant workers organization with over 10,000 restaurant worker members in 32 cities across the United States and 100 employer partners. And these are restaurant owners that are doing the right thing, providing good wages and good working conditions, who are partnering with us to send a different message to say, actually, you can do the right thing and actually be profitable as a result.
And Saru, from the position of Australia, it's often hard to really get our heads around the industrial setup in America. I suppose Australians know that when you go to America, you have to tip. But it's amazing to me that the minimum wage for workers in tipping industries is reduced because of the tips. And that creates what seems like a very hard situation for even, you know, an employee who's doing well.
That's right. The restaurant industry right now is one of the largest and fastest growing sectors of the U.S. economy. It's over 10 million workers. One in 12 Americans currently work in the restaurant industry. And yet it happens to be the absolute lowest paying employer in the United States. And it is entirely because of the power of this industry lobby called the National Restaurant Association, which has been named the 10th most powerful lobbying group in Congress, and which struck a deal back in 1996. They struck a deal with the U.S. Congress saying, look, we won't oppose a modest increase to the overall minimum wage as long as the federal minimum wage for tipped workers, workers who earn tips, stays frozen forever. And so it's been stuck at $2.13 an hour for the last 22 years. And the law says that employers are supposed to make sure that tips make up the difference between that abysmally low minimum wage of $2.13 and the regular minimum wage of $7.25. But unfortunately, we've surveyed over 8,000 workers in America, and I've only ever heard of one instance where an employer actually went back and counted for every hour that tips actually made up the difference. So in reality, you've got workers who are earning sometimes nothing because you've got a slow shift or $2 or $3 or $4 an hour in tips and nothing in wages. It's not enough to pay the rent. It's certainly not enough to put food on the table. So restaurant servers in America suffer from 3 times the poverty rate of the rest of the U.S. workforce and use food stamps, public assistance to eat at double the rate of the rest of the U.S. workforce, which means the people who put food on American tables can't afford to eat themselves.
I mean, they're just jaw-dropping statistics. How do those workplace rights issues intersect also with questions of legal and illegal immigration? Is one of the reasons that there's limited enforcement that some people aren't willing to appeal to authorities when they're treated badly?
That's definitely part of it. So in large urban areas like New York and Chicago and Los Angeles, the industry is majority foreign-born, you know, 60, 70% immigrant. In New York City, we estimated that it's about 40% undocumented. 40% of the people who work in our industry, almost half, don't have legal status. So the industry relies on these workers and relies on the ability to be able to exploit them for sure, and relies on the fear of these workers' unwillingness to speak up, to keep them from, you know, to keep them paying them little, not providing them with a full wage. But I really want to emphasize that that is not the full story. In fact, the majority of restaurant workers in America are white and black, are native-born Americans. It's not just a story of immigration. It is actually the mainstream story of Main Street America.
On Friday Drive, we're speaking with Saru Jayaraman, the founder of the Restaurant Opportunities Centres in America. Obviously, the challenges are huge. Can you give us a sense of some of the victories or achievements that you and your organisation have had?
Yeah, so Mario Batali was our most recent campaign, very famous celebrity chef in America, has a lot of TV shows. There was a practice of tip stealing in the restaurant and pretty severe racial segregation and sexual harassment complaints. And so we organized the workers, and they stood up and demanded that they not only get their wages back, but that there be change in policies in the restaurant. And we won over $1 million in stolen tips and wages and payments for discrimination. And we also won benefits in the restaurant, like paid sick days and some holiday and vacation pay. And most excitingly, Mario Batali agreed to join us as a partner in promoting a different kind of doing business, what we call the high road to profitability. So that's our other, we've won, like the Mario Batali campaign, we've won over 14 campaigns against very high profile celebrity chefs and restaurant owners. We've collected about $8 million in stolen tips and wages. And we won a tip protection bill in Philadelphia, because one of the major issues workers face in our industry is that actually employers will deduct credit card processing fees from tips for having processed the workers' tips. And so workers are not only living on their tips, they're getting credit card processing fees deducted, and we made that illegal in the city of Philadelphia.
And Saru, I'm a sucker for an app. I gather that you've even developed an app that can help consumers work out whether the restaurant that they're at complies with these fairly light requirements.
We created a diner's guide and a smartphone app that basically pinpoints where you are and tells you how the restaurants around you are faring on issues of wages and benefits and promotions, whether they're paying that ridiculously low minimum wage of $2.13 or something better. And, you know, it's been very popular. You know, consumers have started to use it, but our strategy, what we've been saying to people is, look, we don't actually want you to use this guide to decide where to eat and where not to eat, because the truth of the matter is, unfortunately, right now, there are just too few restaurants out there that are actually providing livable wages and working conditions. You'd be eating at the same 70 restaurants your entire life. And so instead, we need to eat wherever you're going to eat, but speak up at the end of your meal. And the reason why we think this is critical and important and can work is that we've seen over the last decade, when consumers spoke up saying, you know, I'd like locally sourced, organic, fresh, vegetarian, healthy food, what's in my food, that restaurants actually responded to consumers and changed their menus as a result. And so we think that if consumers speak up similarly and say, I love the food, I love the service, I would love to see you pay a livable wage or provide paid sick days, we think that using the app, you know, you can tweet that message to employers. We think that will actually send the right signal and get the industry to make a change.
And that, without doubt, is a very good tip. Saru Jayaraman, thank you very much for joining us on Friday Drive.
Thank you.